from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up next on Forum, most of us learned in grade school all about the seven wonders of the ancient world. Since only one of those seven is still standing, a Swiss businessman decided to mount a global campaign to select a new seven wonders from our modern world. We'll tell you all about how these new seven were selected, and we'll hear why some groups like UNESCO are exercised about the whole process. And we'll also hear what you might include on a list of seven world wonders. Forum is next. After this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's forum. After 6 years in the making, we now have a list of seven new wonders of the world to replace the seven out of antiquity that were cited for centuries. The idea for a new list came from a Swiss businessman and filmmaker named Bernard Weber. They were announced on Saturday in Lisbon, Portugal, with much hoopla about the decision-making process being an example of democracy on a global scale, the first global election. Not everyone is happy with the process or the results, as we'll find out in the course of this hour. But in the meantime, here are the new seven world wonders, as decided by some 100 million voters. The Great Wall of China, India's Taj Mahal, the Petra ruins in Georgia, the Roman Colosseum, the Christ statue in Rio de Janeiro, the Incan ruins of Machu Picchu in Peru, and Mexico's ancient Mayan city of Chichen Itza. One or two you might add or replace. Well, in this hour, we'll have an opportunity to do that, but we want to talk about the new seven wonders, the process, and really why these seven wonders, and why not the old ones and all of that. Tia Viering is joining us. She's a spokesperson for the new seven wonders and is joining us from Brussels, Belgium this morning, and we welcome you, Tia Viering.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Hi, you're coming in loud and clear, and so I hope is Christian Manhart, who's joining us from Paris. He's Chief of Communication, Education, and Partnerships Section for UNESCO's World Heritage Center. Welcome.
Yes, thank you very much.
Glad to have you with us as well. And Tia Viering, let me begin with you, and let's talk about the process. And first of all, this took a number of years. It took a number of years because why?
Well, actually, this is like you said, this is the first ever global vote, so that means that no one had ever done anything like this before. And it took a lot of time to put together and carry out. We went through a number of stages. We first, based on democratic principle, let people all over the world nominate potential candidates. We then went through a round of voting for the initial list of nominees. Then we worked with a panel of experts, six of the world's leading architects under the leadership of the longest-standing Director General of UNESCO, Professor Federico Mayor, so one of the cultural, you know, greats in our world, who reduced the already shortlisted nominees to the 21 finalists. And that's what the people of the world voted on through July 6, 2007, and which we announced on July 7, 2007, as you said, last Saturday. So it took a while, but you know, it took a while for us to figure out how to actually make it happen. We reached out to as many people as I think is as absolutely possible in this world. We feel that it's a great testimony to the fact that the people of the world are extremely interested in a cultural dialogue, that so many people participated. And it took us a while to put it together, but our next campaign, the New Seven Wonders of Nature, is going to be considerably faster since we've kind of got the process down pat.
You're also doing top global technological triumphs and top symbols of peace. So lots of things going on from your perspective and from your group. We should mention that this was a major campaign in many countries. In China, to get the Great Wall, the Chinese Great Wall Society mobilized about, mobilized, shall we say, the biggest population in the world. And in Jordan, the royal family led a national campaign. And in Brazil, the president, Lula, got involved in getting people to vote. So this was pretty major throughout many of the countries that got involved. I wonder, in fact, what it all means. Give us a sense of what it all means to the world to have seven new wonders of the world and how accepted these new seven world wonders are.
Well, you know, the thing is, it was so major because I think it really sparked a lot of people's imagination. You mentioned the ancient seven wonders, and actually, you know, I talked to people all over the world who mentioned the ancient seven wonders, kind of, and it sounds like most people think that they still exist. Well, six of the seven don't. Only the pyramids are still standing. It's a list that when the BBC did a study, they found that one out of, I think, 8,000 people in London, you know, not exactly a rural area, could actually name all ancient seven wonders. So it's not something that's particularly relevant to our world today. And Bernard Weber, as you mentioned, he's a Swiss. He's actually not necessarily a businessman. He's more of a filmmaker and author. He really felt in '99 that this was something that the world could use. That this is something that could bring the world together. There's not a lot of things that can bring out people to discuss and have a cultural dialogue, other than global culture. I mean, we're talking people from all over the world. And you mentioned a bunch of the very, very motivated, excited parts of the world. But, what I thought was almost more exciting is that we had, tons of votes in from places like Canada, places like Venezuela, places like the Benelux countries, Ireland. So it wasn't all in places where there were candidates. We had this outpouring of support. We took culture and put it right into the center of people's lives. We enabled them to actually interact on it. And I think that's what people got so excited about. You mentioned China. China's not a place where people generally vote. And so the opportunity to express themselves about something that they, felt passionately about, not about the Great Wall necessarily only, but about these other fantastic monuments around the world, these symbols of what humankind can create. Of course, the UNESCO World Heritage list is much longer than seven monuments, but these are seven things that every single person around the world can remember. These are things that people can be aware of and can share, even if they're not capable of remembering even 21, let alone 850 sites that are currently on the list. So we feel that this is something that's brought the world together. There's a need for dialogue, and that's why we're going to be continuing with the new Seven Wonders of Nature, as you mentioned, technology, and the Seven Symbols of Peace, and we've already received over 21,000 nominations for the new Seven Wonders of Nature. So obviously people are very, very excited about continuing this.
We're talking with Tia Viering, who's with us from Brussels this morning, the spokesperson for the new Seven Wonders, and we should mention that initially this started out to raise money to reconstruct the giant Buddha statues that were destroyed in Afghanistan by the Taliban. I think I have that right, don't I, Tia Viering?
Well, we actually, the New Seven Wonders Foundation, we're a nonprofit foundation that Bernard Weber started exclusively to carry out these kind of campaigns, has pledged 50% of future revenues. So everything we don't spend on, running costs, the website, planning future campaigns, which would be R&D in a company, will be donated to Monument Preservation and Restoration. But we feel very, very strongly that you can't, Bernard Weber said this at the ceremony declaring the New Seven Wonders in Lisbon, you can't really save something unless you first truly appreciate it. So by raising cultural awareness, and that's what this campaign did on a massive scale, we've already taken a step towards being able to do things like if it proves possible, rebuild the Buddhas, or at least people even care about the Buddhas now.
Well, you still got to make some money. I mean, you invested about 10 million euros.
Absolutely, yeah.
So no money yet.
No, we've just broken even, and that's actually a major step, because now we've also this is all work that was done to raise awareness, to get people involved, to get people to take part, and so now that's happened, and we have something to move forward with, which we're very, very excited about.
Well, you mentioned that the pyramid in Egypt, the Pyramid of Giza, was the only one of the original seven not destroyed by earthquakes or arson. I guess the Egyptians were kind of unhappy that they didn't make this list.
Well, I think the Egyptians is a little bit of an overstatement. There was Dr. Zawi Hawass, who took odds at different times with the ancient Seven Wonders list, with the new Seven Wonders list, with the process of doing it. He basically charged that the way in which we were operating was unscientific. However, the concept of a wonder is not a scientific one. So that means that if it's emotional and you respond to it and you are moved by it, then it's a wonder, and that can't be scientific no matter how you slice and dice it. Scientific things don't impress people. People don't want to participate. That's removing all the charm, removing all the magic of it. But we have I think that we found a terrific compromise with the pyramids of Egypt, because of course they remain the only ancient wonder standing. That is an incredibly important status for our world, and so we honored them as an honorary finalist, and so now the world has eight wonders to celebrate, which is more than seven, one of the ancient one and the seven new list, which is I think a spectacular way to appreciate our cultural diversity.
Tia Viering, again, the spokesperson for the new Seven Wonders, with us from Brussels in Belgium, and Christian Manhart is with us from Paris in France. He's chief of communications, education, and partnership section for UNESCO's World Heritage Center. And the World Heritage Center list is, as Tia Viering mentioned, longer. Christian Manhart, there's been some criticism from UNESCO representatives about this whole approach to the new Seven Wonders. And actually, some have sought to dispel the idea that UNESCO lent support. Let's get you on the record here.
Yes, thank you very much for letting us speak about this subject. We have several points why we do not fully agree with this list. Of course, in principle, we welcome any private activity for the conservation of heritage and also for the creation of an increase of awareness for heritage. But the first point is that this list is limited to the seven world wonders. I think this was adequate in the antiquity, where the world was much smaller than today's world. For example, the Americas were not part, China was not part of this world and of this antique world. And I think now, 2,300 years later, the world has undergone much more history. We have many more inhabitants and therefore also many more monuments. And we are a little bit afraid that limiting today a list of the wonders of the world to only seven is a negative message to those countries whose monuments have not been listed. And therefore, the UNESCO World Heritage List, as you said earlier, has 851 sites. Also, we do not limit our concept only to monuments. So we have natural sites, we have mixed sites, for example, which is the mixture between nature and culture. We have cultural routes, for example, like the Silk Road or the road of the Baroque churches in Latin America. And we have, sorry, I was disturbed in my office, and we also, for us, the purpose is not just to make a list, the purpose is to educate about the conservation, to give a message about conservation. The World Heritage List is a tool, for example, the member states, so there are 184 member states of UNESCO which have ratified the World Heritage Convention, where when they inscribe a site on the list, they have to commit for the conservation of the site. And this has proved in the past as a very efficient tool for the conservation of sites. And then the last point is that we feel that this new Seven Wonders campaign is a quite commercial campaign, because on the same website you can buy travel arrangements, you can buy T-shirts, gifts, and even certificates. And also, if you vote by telephone from developing countries, this is quite expensive, or by SMS, you can vote by internet once free of charge. But if you want to give more weight to your vote, then you have to pay. You have to buy goods on the website. And we feel that for people from poor developing countries, especially from Africa, they do not even have enough money to vote for their sites. And the proof is that no African site is on this new Seven Wonders list.
So your criticism is mainly not only the commercial purposes that you see this new list serving, but they're not being committed to conservation of heritage or conservation generally. But there's also been criticism. Sue Williams, for example, of UNESCO, said to the BBC that she felt there was not a commitment to education. And yet, from what I understand, the campaign went to 5,000 schools.
There was no message. For example, if you look at the at the website, you do not find any message for conservation. So to encourage people to conserve sites.
What about the lack of commitment to education, though? I mean, as well as the credibility of the whole poll.
So the lack, as I said, you can make a campaign for the voting at schools, and this apparently happened. I do not know all the details of this campaign, but this was only a message, as far as I know, for voting, but not a message for the conservation of those sites.
Now let me get Tia Veering back into this. Some real criticism here about countries in Africa being unable to be involved, the commercial arrangements, the fact that only seven, or the list is only limited to seven. Can I get you on the record here, Tia?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I mean, I have to say that we have tremendous amount of respect for what UNESCO does. It's a simply different job that they have in the same field. We feel that it is incredibly important that conservation is reinforced, but we feel very strongly, once again, that without appreciation, without true appreciation, conservation just goes over most people's heads. It's not a topic because they don't care. As for the financing, well, we're not publicly funded like UNESCO. We're a private foundation. We don't receive a single cent of tax money. So we have to finance ourselves somehow. We do receive a lot of donations, but that's not the only way we are financed. And I'd like to point out that that Timbuktu actually received more votes than did Neuschwanstein in Germany. And so I think that pretty much counteracts any lack of access from the developing world. In fact, we had a tremendous amount of very, very excited input from people all across the developing world, from Africa and Latin America, from Asia, who went to internet cafes, who really, really made an effort to take part in this because they were excited about it. Of course, our world is tremendously huge and very, very varied, and seven's not many. However, I defy anyone to really remember more than seven things. It's been proven time and time again that seven is a... Sorry about that, very loud car. Seven is the number of things that the average person can remember. Nobody can remember 851 sites, even if they're all extremely valid and extremely worth preserving and extremely worth knowing. If we have created global memory, which we feel that we have, created seven things, seven symbols of global unity, seven things that everyone around the world can remember, then we've already taken a tremendous step towards people around the world coming together, understanding each other, respecting and appreciating diversity as opposed to thinking that it's a problem and that you have to go to war with someone because they're different. So I think that this is the first step before you can start conserving, is that you really have to have the appreciation there. And we've made tremendous, tremendous inroads into doing this.
All right, we're actually going to go back to Christian Manhart and get a response. But before I do that, I wanted to give out the phone number because I know there are many of you who would like to get into this discussion about the new seven wonders and what you think about the whole idea of a new list of seven wonders of the world, the way it was conducted through a global election, grassroots all over the globe, in fact, using largely the internet and text messages and the like, but also certainly going to a great deal of trouble to get nominations and to put this thing into motion so it would have some impact. Also be interested to hear from some of you of what you think the wonders of the world are, or what a single wonder of the world to you is, or what you would have on this list. And in fact, I wanted to have this hour dedicated to hearing what our listeners have to say about what they consider a wonder or the wonders of the world. And our phone number, you can join us now, is 866-733-6786. That's a toll-free number. It's open and available to you. Again, it's 866-733-6786. It'll work from anywhere. And whether you're listening to us on radio, internet, or Sirius satellite, you can also, of course, email us. And our email address is forum@kqed.org. Christian Manhart, what about the idea that, seven is about the limit in terms of the memory? And, from what we heard from Tia Viering, there's every recognition of the importance of the work that you do, but she feels that this is really important in terms of what she's doing.
Yeah, so I feel that the people in the world are capable to remember more than only seven sites, and so of course we are not at all against this list. This is an activity which certainly has its values, but we think that the world has changed a lot since 2,300 years, and that today many more sites need attention, and so these seven sites are actually already the most well-known sites all over the world, and we think that many other sites also need this status, and we do not want to create a number 1, 2, 3, a prioritization. We think that all the 851 sites, and it's not only UNESCO, it's the member states of UNESCO, that all these 851 sites deserve the same level of recognition.
Well, let me bring our callers in and go right to them. Michael, you're on. Good morning.
Oh, thank you. The question I had was, the 851 sites you evaluated, for the seven you came up with. Does anyone know how many of those, if any, were designed and maybe managed the building of those sites? Or is this kind of a guy thing? Guys go out and big giant monuments.
Are you asking how many women were involved in some of these sites?
In the actual building? Yeah, exactly. Because
or design?
Because the stereotype always seems to be guys do this.
Yeah, Christian Manhart. Christian Manhart, about the 851, how many actually have some genesis with women designing or women were involved in that we know of?
Wow, that's a very difficult question. So I'm not able to reply this like this. I know that the Taj Mahal was constructed for a woman by her husband, and the Taj Mahal is on the Seven World Wonders list and on the UNESCO World Heritage list. But I'm not able to reply this question now for the moment.
Well, of the seven, Tia Viering, I think probably we're not going to find too many women in terms of the building or the vision or the design, are we?
You know, I don't think that is honestly what this is about. I think this is about looking at what creativity and vision can do. I repeat that these are symbols. I mean, if we have chosen seven things, maybe there's something that everybody knows, although I would really, really challenge that in terms of Machu Picchu, in terms of Chichen Itza and Petra in Jordan. I would also challenge that they're the most well-known. I think that the Eiffel Tower, the Acropolis, the Statue of Liberty are phenomenally well-known and did not make it into the top seven. These are symbols. These are things that we can all celebrate. There's not enough joint celebration going on in the world, and that's what we're trying to promote. We're trying to put people coming together and saying, wow, you may speak a totally different language, you may have a totally different heritage, but there's something that I absolutely admire about your society, about your culture, and I want to learn more about it. And you brought up the schools. The schools were a really important part of New Seven Wonders, and they're going to be an even more important part going forward. We had well over 5,000 school champions, that was schools who registered with us and sent us projects and incorporated the New Seven Wonders and the Ancient Seven Wonders and the concept of global culture into their curriculum, and we're going to move forward with that, with the natural sites. It's very, very important that kids open their horizons. I encourage everyone to go to the New Seven Wonders website, www.newsevenwonders.com, and check out the kids in schools area.
I don't want to be too San Francisco-centric here or chauvinistic about America because you mentioned the Statue of Liberty, but did the Golden Gate Bridge or anything in California or other things in the United States come up in the voting or the nominations?
There were a number of American sites on the top 77, which was the list from which the initial shortlist was chosen, the 21 finalists. So, yes, there were definitely other American sites. There were also places like Newgrange in Ireland, which is a magnificent burial site that did not make it to the final 21. But people in Ireland were very proud to be a part of it, and now they're super, super excited about being part of the new Seven Wonders of Nature process. This is about dialogue. It's not necessarily about this monument and this monument. It's a symbol. It's showing us what people can do when they're really driven to create the best. Sydney Opera House, I have to say, I'm not necessarily a fan of modern architecture, but when we visited Sydney Opera House on the New Seven Wonders World Tour, I was flabbergasted, and I've told everyone in interviews since around the world. I was so moved by this incredible construction, and I know that other people are too. And that's why I was one of the 21 finalists.
Well, what I know you're all about here is you want to inspire, and I appreciate that. In fact, I also appreciate the time you spent with us because I believe you have to leave us now, Tia Viering. Is that right?
I actually have probably 10 more minutes.
All right, then why don't you hang with us 10 minutes while we take some more calls. We're going to go to a brief break, and then we'll return again. Tia Viering is spokesperson for the New Seven Wonders. Christian Manhart, also with us, is Chief of Communication, Education, and Partnership Section for UNESCO's World Heritage Center. She is with us from Brussels. He's with us from Paris, and you'll be with us in a moment as we take more of your calls and emails. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. This is Forum. I'm Michael Krasny. We're discussing the recent worldwide vote for a new Seven Wonders of the World and inviting listeners to contribute their own recommendations. Tia Veering with us from Brussels is a spokesperson for the new Seven Wonders, and Christian Manhard is a spokesperson this morning for UNESCO's World Heritage Center. I'm looking at some of the emails here, and a couple of people say Petra is in Jordan, not Georgia. If I said Georgia, I misspoke myself. Sorry about that. This is from Dan, who says, I've traveled all over the planet and pay a fair amount of attention to the news. I never heard anything about this vote and would have liked to have participated. How is this process advertised in the U.S.? Also, where was Easter Island on this list? It's far more wondrous than Christ Redeemer. Tia Veering, you want to mention?
Yeah, sure. Unfortunately, we probably didn't reach every single person in the world, although hopefully that's going to change before we close the new Seven Wonders of Nature. We're a very small foundation. As I said, we're a nonprofit foundation. There are about 20 people who work for the foundation. If I might draw the comparison with UNESCO, which is publicly funded and represents, I believe it's, 300-something or 200-something member states. We're a very different kind of organization, and that has enabled us to put on a campaign of this size. And we did receive over 100 million votes, so I'm very, very sorry that somebody did not hear about it and was not able to participate. However, I encourage him to submit nominations for the new Seven Wonders of Nature. Nominations are being submitted right now. And the Easter Island Moai, the statues were actually in the final 21. They were consistently or often in the top category, in the top grouping when we released rankings, but they did not make it, unfortunately, to the top seven that became the Wonders of the World. However, I'd like to emphasize that all 21 finalists, we had 21 finalists that were running against each other for the last year and a half. They all won tremendously in terms of visibility. For many of these countries, tourism is crucial to sustaining their economy and to feeding their people and also to preserving their heritage. So I encourage everyone to go look at the list of the original 21 finalists. They're all spectacular, spectacular monuments, structures, very, very moving. But when you go the way of democracy, and, the first list of Seven Wonders was decided upon by one person, a phylum of Byzantium 2,200 years ago. The UNESCO group that decides on the World Heritage Site, I've been told, is approximately 25 people. So here we have something different, completely different, a process that has involved hundreds of millions of people around the world and has sparked a huge amount of discussion. This kind of discussion probably wouldn't be happening unless we'd kind of, stirred people up like this.
Well, let me also mention that the ancient list of the Seven Wonders was compiled by one person, by contrast, and a lot of people are asking, what were they? They were the Lighthouse of Alexandria, the Temple of Artemis, the Statue of Zeus, Colossus of Rhodes, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, the Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, and the Pyramids of Egypt. And today, only the Pyramids of Giza remain. Also, the other nominees for the new Seven Wonders that were, there were many that were not selected that have caused a good deal of stir. Easter Island was mentioned by a listener, but also, as you can imagine, the Statue of Liberty and Stonehenge and the Eiffel Tower. Here's a listener who says, sounds like people chose another set of ancient wonders instead of modern ones. What about the Empire State Building or the English Channel Tunnel? And when the ancient wonders were selected, they were modern, not ruins. Another listener reminds us, don't most, if not all, these wonders involve slave and underpaid labor, massive suffering, death, that sort of thing. Well, let me go to more of your calls here.
And, do you allow me to intervene to this?
You may be allowed to intervene, by all means, Christian Martin.
Okay, thank you very much. So UNESCO has 192 member states, so not 300 and something. There are even not so many countries all over the world. And then there are 21 countries which are elected members of the World Heritage Committee. So these 21 countries, they are democratically voting for the inclusion of sites in the list, and they are democratically elected every second year by the General Assembly of all countries which have ratified the World Heritage Convention. So I think they are the representatives of the entire world, so at least of the governments of the world. If you allow me also to come back to one of the favorite projects of Mr. Weber, which is the reconstruction of the Buddhas of Bamiyan. Mr. Weber has absolutely no mandate from the Afghan government for this, and I cannot really imagine how in a country whose name is Islamic Republic of Afghanistan, where we have really rising force of the Taliban, that someone goes there to reconstruct completely new Buddhist statues, which are considered by the the Islam as idols. So, and this is forbidden by the Islam, and also the cost for this. So there were several evaluations, but the cost would be maybe $50 million. UNESCO tries to put the very limited funds which are available for cultural projects into the safeguarding of monuments which are now at risk of collapsing, and into the protection of these monuments.
Now, you've raised a number of questions that I want actually Ms. Veering to respond to, but before I do, I had another caller up here, and that's Revati. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I'm siding with the UNESCO person on this issue. I went to the website to vote when the vote was still open, and I had to choose seven. I couldn't just vote for the one or two that I knew about. So I'm thinking millions of people are voting on things that they've never seen, or, you know, they're forced to choose seven. So they're, you know, fundamentally the whole voting process, I think, was broken in that sense. Apart from all the issues about multiple voting and you know, the access, equal access for people around the world and so on. But
Revati, thank you for bringing up that point. I'd like to go back to Tia Veering, who unfortunately only has a few more moments with us. First of all, would you talk about reconstruction in Afghanistan? I think Mr. Manhart brings
sure, absolutely.
An important
and,
point, $50 million in the Taliban, yeah.
Well, it's interesting that this mentioned because, yes, it was very much a pet project of Bernard Weber's, and he passed it on to UNESCO in 2004, along with the only photogrammetric 3D renderings that would make a reconstruction or even building of a model possible. So UNESCO has that squarely in their court in New Seven Wonders. That is something that we would support in the future, but we're certainly, you know, we gave that to UNESCO upon their request in 2004, so we have nothing to do with that right now. And I think that there is a difference between people, representatives making a decision, and people all over the world. That's the difference between a dictator saying, well, I represent the people, and the people actually voting for someone who represents them. So that's our different philosophy. There's nothing wrong with either one necessarily. But the New Seven Wonders were elected by the people of the world, not by their representatives, not by their anything else. And
yeah, but what about the voting for seven? I mean, the caller brings up an interesting point.
Yeah, that was actually a very, very important part of the campaign, because what we did not want was all the Indians or the Chinese or the Brazilians to go and only vote for their national candidate. This is not an exercise in nationalism, although we feel very strongly that cultural nationalism is a very, very important thing, because unless you're proud of your own culture, how can you appreciate others? But we did want people to vote for things, possibly things that they haven't never seen. If you go on the slogans area, we have a part of the website called My Wonder, and this is www.newsevenwonders.com. If you go to the My Wonder area and the My Slogans area, we see people saying, my dream is now to visit the three of the sites I've never seen, the three of the New Seven Wonders I've never seen. Or you have inspired me, you know, we have kids writing us saying that we've inspired them to go and learn more about Peruvian culture because they're so blown away by Machu Picchu. That is exactly what this is supposed to do, to inspire people. And we have a lot of information.
But you heard the caller say that she felt inadequate to the task because she hadn't seen these things.
I think she's thinking about it, which I think is a far cry above, you know, a lot of other things one could think about. And I think that if she had wanted to inform herself, you know, we have lots of information about the various sites on our website. There's lots more on the internet. Let yourself be inspired, and maybe you'll want to go find out more about one of these cultures. Maybe you'll want to go see one of these structures. I think this is very, very important. I think that we're awakening dreams and encouraging dialogue. And even if the dialogue is not all in agreement, I think that's still a good thing.
Well, I'm afraid you have to leave us, and I
yes,
thank the time
thank
you
very,
spent
very
with
much.
Us. That's Tia Veering, spokesperson for the New Seven Wonders, and she's with us from Brussels. Want to stay with us, Christian Manhart?
Yes, with pleasure.
Okay.
I would like to say that, fortunately, not all governments all over the world are dictators.
A point well taken. Also, I want to remind listeners that you can join this discussion. We are inviting you to contribute your own recommendations, and here's a list from one of our listeners named Benjamin. And by the way, you can email us, as he's done, forum@kqed.org, or call us directly at our toll-free number, which is 866-733-6786. Again, that's 866-733-6786. Here's Benjamin, who says, I'd like to add a few more to the list. Angkor Wat in Cambodia, the Parthenon in Athens, Ephesus in Turkey, Petra in Jordan, which is on the list, Easter Island statues, which we've already heard, Granada in Spain, Versailles Palace, and a few natural wonders, the Grand Canyon, El Capitan, Yosemite. Iguazu Falls, Brazil, the Serengeti Plain and the Himalayas. What a wonderful world, he says. I hope I can stay a while. In the meantime, let me take more of your calls. And we go to Srini. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Michael. Thanks for the opportunity to talk here. I just had one thought on, you know, being an Indian, I shouldn't be saying this, but I wasn't really too pleased with the criteria used to select Taj. Being an Indian and having a 1 billion plus population, we always had the numbers to push it to the list, and the spokesman said this is not about nationalism, but I'm pretty sure that's what played here. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I must point out, in terms of architectural, it's visual wonder, awe-inspiring and all, but it's not a architectural wonder. For the technology available at the time, the Taj was not a pier. If you go to India, there are zillions of such, architectural wonders. One such thing in Gol Gumbaz in Bijapur, acoustically, it's a miracle. I mean, it's a huge dome, about 35 meters plus, and if you crackle open a newspaper on one end, it would equal like 10 or 11 times. And if you speak into the wall on one side, the other person could hear it. I mean, there are zillions of such wonders out there. I think what needs to be done is attention paid to these sites, and these are like 500 to 800 years old monuments. And India isn't doing enough to keep them on the list. I mean, what I mean is, hello?
Yeah, you're kind of breaking in and out in your cell phone call, but we're hearing what you're saying.
Yeah, I'm driving through the hills, and my apologies. But India, with its limited resources, is not doing enough to sustain these monuments. I'm sure it's the same story with many other parts of the world. So this is only a beginning, but I'm not sure this was a well considered effort. I'm not sure what the commercial interest behind this effort was. I think that's the direction the world needs to head in.
All right, we thank you for the comments. In fact, in India, a popular singer went touring around the country singing about the Taj Mahal to generate votes, and the chairman of a private media group, iMedia Corporation, had been trying to galvanize public support. What the caller said about nationalism, by the way, and I mean, the Chilean president was asking for support of Easter Island, which we mentioned before. The government of Peru opened up computer terminals in public plazas to get people to vote for Machu Picchu. There were some very serious campaigns involved here. And you mentioned China, which had the Great Wall had more votes than any of the new seven wonders. But it's important to remember that China has the second biggest number of internet users in the world and the world's largest phone market, mobile phone market, that is. So there are a lot of appeals to patriotism here. Let me go to another listener who wants to say something about the Taj Mahal. Krish, good morning.
Oh, hi. I have 2 points to make. One is I agree with the gentleman that this is totally unscientific process. And another point is it looks like there are so many votes from China. And I wonder, so many countries who can't even vote for their own government, they can participate in this election process, which makes it a total farce. And it also appears, if you go by numbers, you can select anything can come into the top seven. And by giving a consolation prize to Egypt, it's totally ridiculing the pyramids of Egypt. So that's my first point.
You have another point? Sorry.
Point is, I'd like to contradict with the statement made by the gentleman about the Taj Mahal, which was built for a woman. It has been refuted by several historians in India that it was totally not a Mughal architecture. So that's it.
Okay, I thank you for that. Do you want to respond to that, Christian Manhard? I believe it was you who said it was built for a woman. Yeah.
Yes, it was. It was. It was. The Taj Mahal was built for Mumtaz Mahal, the wife of Shah Jahan. So Shah Jahan built it for her when she died at the beginning of the 17th century.
The caller seems to think that's maybe going under some historical scrutiny. But here's another listener, Patrick, who says, "Folks, lighten up. This is a popularity contest. The discussion about whether it is hurting or helping conservation or reconstruction of these sites is moot. Listing new seven wonders won't shift opinion, effort, or funding a bit." What about that, Christian Manhard?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like a popularity contest, and I think our task is today to conserve the monuments and not just to make a contest and just to make a list. And I agree very much also with the comments of the two Indian speakers before.
And here's another list from one of our listeners named Mark, who says, your guests are hardly Herodotus. Here's the list. Maybe they can get a clue. 1, poverty. Exists and getting worse. 2, hunger and malnutrition. 3, war, especially made on small countries by large, powerful countries. 4, diseases such as AIDS, heart disease, stroke, obesity. 5, political oppression. 6, environmental destruction and global warming. 7, inability to focus on the real issues we need to confront and solve together. And Molly says, what about Stonehenge? A number of you say, what about Stonehenge? And here's John, who says, 2 constructions that impressed me more than most members on the list. 1, the interstate highway system in the United States now being matched in China. And 2, India's railway system. On we go to more of your calls. And we go next to Roz in Pleasanton. Good morning.
Good morning, Mike. Thanks again for a conversation at our dinner table tonight. I have been to the outback in Australia and seen a wonderful World Heritage sculpture done by Aborigines. What I'd like to do is ask for people to look at both of these groups collaborating together. There's been a lot of enthusiasm. My son got all the Seven Wonder nominations off of the Internet, and we had a fun family evening looking at them, discussing them. Had we been there? Can the kids go there? Et cetera, et cetera. As far as a World Heritage site that has a woman who's really involved, how about Hearst Castle down in San Simeon? The architect was Julia Morgan. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Thank you. And so somebody I knew in high school calling me Mike. Anyway, I haven't heard that name for many years. Kathy, hi, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I'm enjoying the conversation immensely, but I also, as a teacher, anything that sparks anyone's interest in a positive way is nothing but positive. I don't see anything negative in this at all. And as far as the UNESCO, I understand his concern about the limitations as far as education and conservation go, but to me it's like, look, this dialogue has started and this awareness has started all over the world, opinions, wonders, everything. Why don't you pick that up and move from there and help them and combine your efforts? You both have immense resources. Combine them. Don't argue.
Thank you, and can't we just get along? Here's another email from David, who says, I can support the positive outcomes that Ms. Veering cites in her rehearsed talking points, like dialogue and shared heritage, but this masks the fact that the voting mechanism is a complete farce. An infinitesimal fraction of the people voting have visited all 7 new wonders, and even fewer have visited the 21 finalists. This makes the idea of democratic selection totally meaningless. Many people voting were merely voting for their local site, having only seen the name or at best a photo of the other sites. It's like voting for president using a picture and a name. Sure, it's democratic, but it's not informed. And here's Arian, who says, my personal vote for one of the 7 wonders of the world, natural wonders, is the Solar de Uyuni, which is located on the border of Chile and Bolivia. It's a salt flat desert that spans hundreds of square miles. The most incredible part about it is that after the rainy season, it's possible to cross it on a jeep safari, which is literally like driving through the sky, as the entire solar desert is covered with approximately 3 inches of water. Here's Michael, who says, my kids love being involved in this process, and they proceeded to spend time studying the ancient wonders. I now have a 9-year-old that can name all 7 ancient wonders and all 7 modern wonders. Why get upset about something that sparks the imagination of children? Christian Manner, what would you say to that?
No, we are not at all upset about this initiative, and it has certainly its value, and we just want to say that it's largely commercial, and that I think it does not correspond to today's world, but it has certainly its value.
And Martha joins us. Good morning, Martha.
Good morning. Thank you for having this topic. I heard about the new 7 Wonders campaign from my mother, who I think heard about it on the news. But I really wanted to praise UNESCO. You know, one of the things that the representative from the 7 Wonders said right now was that if we're proud of our own culture, we can be proud of others. And to me, that's really one of the beautiful things about the sites that UNESCO has certified as one of their cultural heritage sites, because people that are in the places you know, there's almost 1,000 of them. They're much more accessible than these new seven wonders. I think it's much more possible for people to go. And I know that when I was in Oaxaca, which is designated as a UNESCO site, there was such a tremendous pride that and an understanding that what we have here in our city and the ruins of Montalban are so precious and valuable that they need to be preserved. And I think that that really also helps people understand, you know, these other sites that are on, also certified by UNESCO, are also valuable and precious and need to be preserved in the same way that our site needs to be. So, you know, I understand the value of the hype and excitement. You know, I don't think these seven wonders are that, I think that they're very well known. And if that helps, you know, increase the economy of those areas, that's great. But I would really encourage people to look at the UNESCO sites and see how much there is to be valued and appreciated throughout the world. I think it's very impressive.
Well, thank you, Martha. I'm sure that's music to Christian Manhart's ears. And maybe, Christian Manhart, is there a website, a UNESCO website, that listeners should know about where they can find out more about the 851 site?
Yes, absolutely. Our website is whc.unesco.org.
And they can see the 851?
And they, we have all the 850 sites, and you can see them per, sort them by countries, for example. And we have photos of most of the sites also on our website.
And here's Chuck, who says, love the show, couple of comments. It's about time to update the seven. Completely agree with all the comments about bringing global culture together, making diversity a positive thing instead of a divisive thing. He wants to know who and when the original seven wonders were codified and agreed by. And as I said, they came from one person. Do you have any more knowledge about that, Christian Manhart? About the
original? Well, no, not really. I know that they were declared 2,300 years ago in Greece.
Yeah, and they lasted that a couple thousand years, which is a testament to an extraordinary wonder in itself. Let me go to Julio next, and thank you for waiting, Julio. You're on the air.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Thank you for having me. I am originally from Peru, and I am very happy that, you know, that Peru is one of the sites of the Seven Wonder. But also, I'm listening to all this conversation, and I, you know, was thinking maybe, you know, there's all this, maybe we should do another type of votations, everybody can do this whole thing again to see, you know, maybe we can involve more people into this process.
Well, it's certainly something that Tia Viering is trying to do. They're trying to, as they said earlier, get the natural wonders and get even more people involved than the 100 million they had involved in this process. Let me get some more of your calls on. In the meantime, Ann, join us. Hi.
Yes, I wanted to say, Mike, back in 1996, the American Civil Engineer Society did a worldwide survey of what should be the seven wonders of the modern world. But they predicted that by 2006, one of those wonders would fall off and the International Space Station would replace one of them.
Interesting. Well, thank you for that fact. Didn't know that. I think the original ancient seven wonders, as I said, all six of them were destroyed mostly by either earthquake or fire. We're going to go to more of your calls. And let's go to Susan in Iowa. Hi.
Yeah, hi. Listen, I thought this was the greatest thing, globally speaking. Honestly, let's take time out of an international war and get out of our huts and stuff and vote for something like this. But I think maybe one of the problems was, first, we only had seven. I think 13 would have been a lucky number, actually. Things have exponentially increased over time. And the original seven wonders of the world, I was taught to memorize those in grade school in the 1950s. And so I know the entire history of how that all got established. And it was mostly things that you couldn't find anymore. For instance, I really wanted to see the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. And, like, by that time, there wasn't even a Babylon, you know. So, but I voted for Stonehenge, and I'm actually kind of happy. If destruction is what gets you into this book, Lady Liberty is still standing for France and the United States, and Machu Picchu. Actually, I learned about Machu Picchu the first time on a Wild Kingdom television show in the 1970s in America, and it was the monkeys of Machu Picchu.
That was with Marlon Perkins. I remember
the
show.
Yes. Oh, you remember. remembered, oh, it was just wonderful. And like, I thought, why are they looking at these monkeys? And then I realized it was because of Machu Picchu. And then I learned more. I'm much more educated now. Oh, I'm so glad you remember Marlon Perkins. Yes. Wild Kingdom was how I knew the world. And the only one of the seven wonders I've seen is Stonehenge. And I just don't think you can keep that off the list, you know. And I agree about the Taj Mahal to some extent. But if it's the Taj Mahal or Machu Picchu, I go with the monkeys.
Well, thank you. And the monkeys will be glad that you go with them as well. Appreciate your call and hearing from you, Susan. And thank you. Christian Manhart, I get the sense that this is not necessarily us against them. That is, UNESCO is welcoming to some degree what the new Seven Wonders is putting forward here, but with some serious reservations and concerns. Generally, though, you like the idea of people becoming more educated. You like the idea of people becoming more inspired. So there is certainly some good in this, isn't there?
Yes, absolutely. Only UNESCO has a very different mandate. So our mandate is really the conservation of these sites and the transmission of these sites to future generations.
Well, I'm appreciative that you joined us this morning, and I want to thank you again. Christian Manhart is Chief of Communication, Education, and Partnerships Section for UNESCO's World Heritage Center. He joined us from Paris, and Tia Viering joined us earlier and had to leave us about 20 minutes ago. She was with us from Brussels, spokesperson for the new Seven Wonders. Also, want to remind you that another forum hour is coming your way. We're going to focus in the next hour on Kosovo, and we're going to talk about what is a serious concern about Kosovo and that part of the world in the Balkans possibly becoming independent. There was a meeting with Secretary of State Rice on Monday, and there is continued attempt to move a UN declaration forward. That'll be our focus for the hour ahead. In the meantime, we're with you Monday through Friday, 9 to 11, and certainly appreciative of the fact that you are here with us and appreciative certainly of your support. Our email address, again, is forum@kqed.org, and I want to remind you of that because we do welcome your emails about what you hear on Forum and what you'd like to hear on Forum. You can also let us know that or any kind of feedback by going to our listener call-in number, which is 415-553-3300. I want to thank our producers, Robin Giannatasio-Mal and Kevin Guillory, with production assistance from Christina Shaheen and Tina Lauerberg. Our engineer is Dave Freeman. Our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. And for all of us here at KQED, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Claude and Louise Rosenberg Jr. Family Foundation.